today's gospel, we hear Jesus' disciples asking him about the mysteries, in a way, of the parables. And what they're really asking, in a way, is couldn't Jesus find more plain ways to be speaking to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of God? And really, at the heart of the matter here is a question about our language about God, our thinking about God, and our thinking about the mysteries of God. And the ultimate challenge which is presented is going to be this. How can we human beings who have ideas or concepts in our minds, which by definition must be finite and limited, how can those concepts relate and describe a God who is infinite in his very being? In other words, the minute you think you know everything about God through a concept in your mind, you can be guaranteed that you do not know him at all, because it's impossible to hold the infinite within the finite. And therefore, what we're really doing when we speak about God, even when we're reading the words of Scripture, is we are pointing at the mystery of who the infinite God is and of who he is in relationship with us. And that means we always have to approach God with a sense of humility. There is a familiarity that we've come to know God in the person Jesus Christ, that he has revealed to us who God is and who he is in relationship with us. But we should never lose sight of the reverence and of the transcendence of God, who is infinite and therefore beyond our mere comprehension in his totality. It reminds me a little bit from the Old Testament, when the nation of Israel, when the Jews were given the name of God, and they were given what's called the Tetragrammaton, the YHWH, which in English we wind up putting vowels between and calling Yahweh. But for them, it really was meant to be the unpronounceable name of God. It couldn't be written, it couldn't be spoken. They simply would call God Adonai or Lord. And the reason was, they knew if God could be named by this one name, then also he could become subject to abuse. He also could become subject to being simply one being among other beings in this world that we live in. And again, as soon as God is reduced to that, he's no longer God, but we've made him one of us. We've made him a fellow creature. And indeed, even in the taking of the name of the Lord in vain, this in a way is precisely what happens. The name of God, which is the name who is behind the source of all being, the source of all truth, it becomes for people a kind of derogatory term to use when things don't go our way or when we get upset. In a way, you could not get further from the truth of what the name of God represents and then to use it as a term to describe something which didn't go our way or something that we are upset about. And this is precisely what they were trying to protect against in having the name of God to be unpronounceable. When we move to the New Testament and we have God described as being our Father, even here we have to acknowledge that we are approaching a mystery. Which means to say, if we were to take the qualities of a human father, which is really our first point of contact with what a father is, and we were to say that a father generates life, well, God the Father generated his eternally begotten Son, and he also created the world. That is a good point of comparison with some differences held therein. And if we say a good father is one who governs, educates, and nurtures his child, we also would say, well, God the Father does this for us. He does nurture, he does educate, give us truth, and he does govern our lives through our providence. But he does it all on a much grander, more thorough, and all-wise compass or sphere than what even the best human father could do. In other words, there is a point of comparison to say, yes, we have a good idea, an idea of what it means to call God Father, but we still have to acknowledge we are humbly pointing toward the mystery of who God is, and never for a second thinking that we know everything about him. Because again, as soon as we think that way, we can be assured that we're wrong. And so we are really then pointing at the mystery of who God is, which really brings before us this twofold approach of one, gratitude that God has revealed himself to us in Jesus and that we can approach him, But on the other hand, never losing that sense of reverence for the transcendence of God, who is totally beyond anything that we see in this world. And that brings us to today's gospel and the parables, and this notion that some people hear but don't really listen, and some people see but don't really have vision. And the idea behind the parables is always going to be a particular point of comparison to say the kingdom of God is like a sower who goes out to sea, or it's like a master over his vineyard. There's always a point of comparison which is pointing at the mystery of God. But the one who really knows and who has some sense of wisdom also understands it is once again this notion of pointing at the mystery and never fully comprehending it. And those who don't listen in a way are those who want to reduce God to being merely a scientific object of this world to be analyzed, discussed, and defined. And because that is an impossibility to do, they are never going to hear the actual message which God gives to us in Jesus Christ. He's revealed himself to us, but we should never forget he's still God. He still transcends everything from this world. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go forward in this sacred liturgy, let us ask God for the grace that we would always revere and respect the name of God that has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ, that we would always be filled with gratitude that he has revealed himself to us, and at the same time, that we would always be on our knees, humbly kneeling before the mystery of the transcendent God who revealed himself to us in Jesus.